Good morning, church. Well, let me just get my stuff real quick. Well, today we're gonna talk about how God doesn't tempt us. Let's start off with a word of prayer. Father God, Lord, I just ask you, Lord, thank you for this beautiful day, Lord, and I ask you, Father, that you use me today, Lord, and let these be your words, not mine, Father. I ask you, Lord, that you're able to just stir in the hearts of every person in here, Lord, and open their eyes, Lord, and their hearts, Father. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray. Amen. So I might be doing a little bit running around this morning. That's why I'm down here. So bear with me. We're going to read from the book of James. And it's actually James 1, 13 through 16. It says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when, by his own evil desires, he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. When it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my brothers. After Googling temptation on the web, Wikipedia had this to say. Temptation is a fundamental desire to engage in a short-term urges of enjoyment that threatens long-term goals. Do you hear that? Long-term goals? In the context of some religions, or should we say our Christian faith, temptation is the inclination of sin. Temptation also describes the coexisting and inducing a person into committing such an act by manipulating or otherwise of curiosity, desire, or fear of loss. Temptation is real, my friends, and it lurks in all aspects of our life. Satan is not a myth. It's not like when we learn in school about mythology. Looking right into the scriptures, John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Who do you think the thief is? And who is he coming to destroy? That is not a myth, my friends, but reality when we let our guards down. It's so easy to say, we are only flesh. And it's a natural human instinct. Oh, let's not forget, we serve a forgiving God. Yes, we do. But why do you want to play with eternal life? Is that, my friends, a long-term goal? Temptation doesn't come from God. It's not God tempting you nor me. It's something inside of us that longs for these things that are outside of God. So when you're tempted, don't blame it on God. Here's a life rule, and it's a simple rule to follow. And it is well said. Whenever you're tempted, it's your fault. But yet all day long we hear stories about people saying, yes, he or she made me so angry. Do you understand what he or she did? But the woman that you gave me, with the quickness, we blame God. He's the one that made me this way. He gave me these desires. So it must be God's doing, right? We just keep blaming. We even blame a little more. Then the excuses and the justification come in. I've been going through a hard time. All these trials. My life isn't going as planned. My marriage isn't perfect. Work isn't working out. Man, I just need some relief. I was addicted since birth. Oh, it runs in my family. And let's not forget about the accountability group. They haven't called me in weeks. No one has contacted me. So it's their fault too. I honestly believe every person desires for the hope of someone to come to them and just say these few words. It's not your fault. It's not your fault. We want to hear these words being said to us so badly. But when we read the Bible, it clearly says it's your fault. You see, you have this evil desire that is inside of you. So don't you blame. It's all you. No matter what we're going through or been through, we don't have that right to blame God. If we look at the people of James, they were going through some trials. These people were being dispersed. They were being persecuted. Their family members were being killed. These people were going through hard times. But yet, James tells them, even though you're going through hard times and life doesn't seem fair, don't you dare be tempted to sin and blame it on God. That desire is coming out of you. You're being enticed. You're being dragged and enticed. You see, the word entice, which I really enjoy, because I know we have some hunters and we have some fishermen in here. This word entice was a fishing term or a hunting term. It's the idea I told you guys, bear with me this morning. It's the idea of hooking or hook something. So I brought this pole and I brought these worms. Yes, they're gummy worms. You see, this isn't enticing. The point of this is this hook and worm are used to lure fish out of their retreat. The word entices is about dangling. And this is what Satan does to us all day long. He just dangles things in front of us. Take it. Dangle. This is what Satan does. He's doing everything to entice you. And you can't tell. It's the same thing we do to a fish to lure him out of his retreat. Satan is a master of disguises. He covers himself up just like how we cover this hook. And he keeps luring it and putting it in front of us every single day, telling us, take it, take the bait. And the funny thing is, when the fish finally takes the bait, the fight is on. And we're doing everything to reel the fish in. You know, every once in a while, we are wise enough to take the bait. We are wise enough not to take the bait. But what does Satan do? Give up? No, okay, that didn't work. I guess we're not going for worms today. Okay, so here's $100. Come on, just take it, take it, take it, take it. Dangle, dangle, dangle. All of a sudden, it's okay. You see, you don't have to be in church here this morning. You could be out making some of this. That's what Satan wants. You lose money coming here, actually. You have to throw in the offering plate. Satan says, follow me, and you'll actually get some of this. If money's not going to do it for you, he tries something else. All day long, he goes on, and Satan just goes, dangle, 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 dangle. Let me put this back because I don't want to get in trouble if I lose it. To be honest with you, I don't even think that's the correct reflection. I don't think so. Because we're under attack all times. In this world and culture, here in this world, we are bombarded. And what it feels like living in this world, this is what it feels like living here. In that water, when we were bombarded with all these temptations.
God, that you're not even worried about anything else. You don't no care what's going on in the room or anything around you. You're just so focused on Jesus. You're so in love. You're thinking about eternal things. That is the idea. We have to run towards Jesus, the author and perfecter. We have to fix our eyes on Him. So that all things that are dangling in front of our face, we don't even notice. Because we are so focused. We have to understand, my friends, that is the key to resisting temptation, is running towards the love of God. That's why the Bible clearly says, if you love God, everything is going to be fine. If you love your neighbor, you can't sin against them. As long as you keep loving and pursuing and pursuing, that's when you don't see the other things. Because you're so focused on that goal. Let's be honest here. Every once in a while, we see something dangling in front of our eyes. And we turn. And the Bible says in verse 15, after the desire takes, rather than repulse it, because we have a choice. We all feel it. The moment we feel temptation, that's not the sin. That's not the sin right there. You see, things that catch our eyes, then the choices become ours. But do we encourage by staring longer? Or do we repulse it and run and focus our eyes on Jesus again? But if you take, after the desire has conceived, the word conceived is a picture of an egg taking the spawn. The idea of fertilization on how it took is a choice. I choose to live longer. I choose to desire it. I started to want it. You see, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. The word there is missing the mark. It's like taking an arrow and missing the bullseye. It's not that you missed the bullseye. You started aiming at other things. You took your eyes off the goal, off the target, and you started looking at someone else. That's why you missed the mark. That's when it becomes sin. And when sin is fully grown, it gives birth to death. I understand you might not see it here, but there's a graphic illustration in the Greek. There's a picture of the fertilization of an egg, and it's the conception that it says, sin is born when it's full grown. It's a picture of a baby developing within the womb. But when you give birth, it's a stillborn baby. I've been there, waiting for the joy and excitement when the baby is born. And you can't help to think, after all this, here I am left with a stillborn child. And with the pain and the grief. That is what sin does. It looks so good. I mean, everything was developing and going so good. And at the end, it's like, oh. An empty wallet, a broken sister, an empty well, and I left that. I left the spring of living water. I left my love, the one that loved me and provided for me. I left the inheritance for this. And that's why he says in verse 16, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. my brother. He goes to say, I love you so much. God is saying, I love you so much, so don't take the bait. You see, everyone has these desires inside of us, and that want to pull us away from, pulls away because we see something. And I'm telling you, don't go for it. Because in the end, it's death. And the word for death means end. It's a separation from our spirit and our body. Spiritually, it's a separation between you and God. And eventually, that sin leads to eternal separation, where there is no chance to get together again with God. That's what sin does when it grows and grows. And pretty soon, you'll stand before God, and you're like, whoa, I gave you up. I chose all that junk over you. Now I get eternity away from you. Because I chose these things over you. And it ends in total sadness. So where do we go? I can't believe I left that for this. And now I'm in total hell. This is why James says, don't do it. Don't get pulled away. Some of you, right now, are getting sucked in so many things. And some of you this week, the bait was just out there. You were nibbling at it. You were looking at it. Rather than swimming away from it. Some of you just bit that hook, and it was hook, line, sinker. That might be some of you that don't even want to be in this room right now because your heart is somewhere else. And I'm just telling you right now, don't be fooled. Don't be deceived. It's never going to work out for you. It never has. In the history of this planet, you won't be the first one. Don't turn your back on a Father that loves you. A husband who has given you everything and says, this could all be yours. There's one reason I want to leave you with. Hopefully you get this from this morning. The one reason is you should walk away from whatever temptation you're facing right now. And know that God is better. He is. He promises that. He is so much better. It's not even a comparison. Our God is holding us near to Him, even when we don't deserve it. He wants us to lean closer to Him. He wants us to desire things He has to offer. He wants us to turn away from temptation and look into His eyes. God bless you.